continue on where my husband left off. My one prayer that I asked of you is that I can be used of God here and to stay as faithful to him as my husband was. And she goes on, and you know, she lost her husband some time ago, and she's standing up. That would be hard for, I believe, for a woman to do, but she's got some men that are preaching over there for her, and she's still keeping the ministry going, so we'll be praying for her. And that's the Sykes family, Ron Sykes. I think it's Ron, wasn't it? Ronald Sykes. What? They're South Africa. Anyhow, we've supported them for a long time. Also, the Stevens family. Most of you know Arlena Padilla. We took her on for support, and then she got married to a boy that's called to the mission field. And she's from Honduras, and that's where they are. And Buenas Tardes from Honduras. I think that's how you say that. I'm getting good, ain't I? We are now in the month of February, and I'd like to mention at this time a number of things that have inspired or transpired since writing our last letter. First off, let me say thank you to everyone who prayed for a safe flight for us. We thank the Lord for another supporting church that contributed $1,000 towards our need of a pickup truck for the ministry. Please pray for us as we hope to get a used truck in the near future as the Lord provides. A few days after our family arrived in La Esperanza, we went to visit some of the members of the church at Cubada de Latos. This is something. When we got to the temple building in Cueta de Labras, we were amazed at the work that the people had done at the church property. Some of the men built a fence around the temple building, and they planted grass around the building to make it look very nice. The ladies of the church planted flowers in front of the temple building, and they also did some decorating within the building to make it look beautiful. But what blessed our hearts was when we realized that they did all of that work out of their own tithes and offerings. Our people don't have much money, but a number of them have learned to sacrifice in order to give unto the Lord's work. Many of our ladies faithfully made food products to sell at the market in order to raise funds for needs that arise within the church. Our song leader, Brother Alberto, gives very generously from his heart. He donated the money for the church to purchase their own sound system. The cost of materials for them to build the fence cost more than $500, which again was raised through offerings and money raised by the ladies. My wife and I could have donated the money for all those needs, but we know that it would have set them back tremendously in their growth as the body of Christ. The church has a spiritually minded, the church has spiritually matured since we were last with them in 2013, but there is still much work for us to do in discipling them. So there's a lot of missionaries we support, and there's some good works going on out there. And you see these people, instead of having their hands held out like a lot of folks do, they're willing to sacrifice and to do and to help the work of the Lord, even when the missionaries were back home on furlough. So I praise God for the missionaries that we support. And I've got several others here. I'm going to read this one here to you, I think would be good. If I can find it, there it is. Phil and Melanie Stevens, they're missionaries to Zambia, Africa. And Brother Phil, I tell you, he's a friend of mine. I tell you, first time I met him, we just kind of clicked. I never will forget when this brother came up here. I'd never met him before, and I was talking to him on the phone. And I'm real bad about scheduling people anyhow that I don't know. And as I was talking to him on the phone, the Lord impressed on my heart to have him here. And I'm real finicky on just these missionaries that do a canned service, have a slide film, and preach Matthew 25 or whatever that is, or about the Great Commission 28 or whatever that chapter is over. I mean, which is not bad, but it's a standard-like coined message. I like to hear a missionary, if we're going to take them on support, just to rear back and preach the Word of God, because if he can't preach the Word of God in this church, what's he going to do over there? So that's my philosophy on it. So, I'm not real fond of slide presentations. I mean, I like to see a few, but I don't like to see a whole lot. I like to hear preaching. So he came up here one Sunday night, and I was in my office, and he came in my office just before church started and introduced himself. And I said, well, you need to set up anything? He said, oh, I've already got my slides set up. I said, okay. Are you going to preach? And he says, well, I do it a little bit different. And I says, well, okay. And never will forget this as long as I live. And this has been, 10, 15 years ago, I guess he was here the first time. And as he was preaching and showing the slide presentation, he was preaching. And when we turned the lights on and he was showing pictures of these, and where he goes is out into the woods, the wilderness. And he said that he goes into villages when they get out of the Jeep or whatever they're in, the natives there run because they've never seen a white person before. And as he was talking and preaching and showing these slides, it just touched everybody's heart that was in here. And when he got through, they turned the lights on, and the whole front of his, like this, was soaking wet from tears. This fella here is real. And it says, howdy from Zambia. Very busy July and August. Major house repairs on our home here. Whole new roof and large section of rafters and trusses replaced. What a mess we had, and still rubble in our yard. Thank the Lord that inside the house is back to normal. Also, we have been busy with a Bible Institute project, building for housing 75% complete. Should be finished by the end of September. However, the water wells and farm are not moving. Tribal and national government have us on hold. But we all agree on this side to be patient and to wait on the Lord. And it says, another ministry assistant in training who travels with me now and will be traveling with Pastor Costa while Melanie and I are on furlough beginning October the 6th, is seen in this photo to the left with Pastor Costa. His name is Malon Sigbingdo, something like that. August missionary update, Victory Baptist Church and Nabutu Baptist churches held a combined Bible conference of preachers, teachers, and all Zambian. We're all Zambian. Pastor Costa, Pastor Aaron, and with them men in training. It says the blessings from our great God and Savior will pour out on the meetings and on visitation in villages and of the surrounding area. 16 precious souls came forward confessing their sins and repentant faith to receive Jesus Christ to follow him. Also, a family was reconciled, and the wife committing to follow her husband attending church at Victory Baptist. Yet even more, a family attending a church with great error and darkness has promised to come to VBC to serve the Lord in his deliverance unto truth. There's work after work going on that we support, and I don't bring it up all the time, but I think it's needful. And a lot of times, you know, if you don't realize what we do, and the mission project here is a faith promise mission giving, and it's over and above the tithe, and we need to keep that fund up. And Mrs. Smith said we need $480 more. For our march, to send off for March. All right, so we support. That'll be the end of it. But if you have never given to missions, you ought to pray about it. Because these souls, man, when you get to heaven, you're going to see people that you didn't even know you were responsible or had part of getting saved. You don't want to miss out on a blessing, I guarantee. And it is a blessing. So if you got some extra change, put it in an offering plate and put it in an envelope and put it in missions. Yes, ma'am.
They're back there.
Oh, yeah. We've got a whole mission board back there with everybody's prayer letters and everything. Yep. Yep. So anyhow, that's good. Good bring up. But if anybody has any questions on our mission projects around the world, we got them all over. We've got five nationals that we've got our own mission port in this church, the Filipino Baptist Mission, that we support five nationals over in the Philippines. And they're doing a work for the Lord. And I tell you, I'm excited about what God's doing there. So, 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. I took a little bit more time than what I thought about doing on this thing here, but I might not get as far as I was hoping to get, but that's all right. Went to the UBF meeting. I have a hard time. Unregistered Baptist Fellowship meeting yesterday over in Okeechobee. Very good meeting. That Greg Dixon was over there, and Don Boys, and a lot of the Brother Wiley was over, and some of the big wigs from around, and they come from all over the country to this meeting, and they asked me to preach again. I preached last year at it, and I guess I must not have flubbed up too bad, because they asked me to come again. But then I got home, and my wife asked me, she said, "Well, did you embarrass me?" And I said, "Probably." I can do that without trying. So anyhow, we had a good time, good service. Had four of the men in the church. Brother Pennington went with us, and Brother Buddy Howard went, and Wayne Thibodeau, and Marvin Royce. Right. So that was an interesting trip over there and back. 1 John chapter 2, and I think I wound up in about verse somewhere. I think verse 3, I think, is where I was. That's where I'm going to start anyhow. If I didn't, you just have to catch up. You need to read this chapter, and I won't finish chapter 2 tonight. So read the whole book of 1 John, and when we teach it, you'll have a better understanding of it. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Now see, there's assurance in obeying the Word of God. There's people that they come to church and they'll be here for a little while. And we discuss that. They'll come here and get all excited, and all of a sudden you don't see them no more. They're not obeying the Word of God. The Bible, if you start reading the Word of God, and that's why most people don't read the Bible too much, because they don't want to know what God wants them to do. And see, obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, if you want to be blessed of the Lord, if you want the joy of the Lord, you read this book and you do what this book tells you to do, and you'll never, ever come out wrong. I guarantee you. And it goes, it says in verse 3 again, it says, "And hereby," that's the proof, "we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Verse 4, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." One, that's he that saith. That's somebody that claims to have the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, yet they live in disobedience to the Word of God. His life puts the lie to his words. If somebody tells you, "Oh yeah, I'm saved," and they go out and live like hell, there's very, very little evidence that they are saved. The Bible says, "Ye shall know a tree by the fruit it bears." In the Bible, it says, "He that saith, I know him." Now look at verse 4. It says, "He that saith, I know him." That's the one that professes to be acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know him. If you're saved, you know him. You've met him. And he professes to be a Christian. Webster's defines that as know as to perceive with certainty, to understand clearly, to have a clear and certain perception of truth, fact, or anything that actually exists. See, if you're a Christian, if you're truly born again, you know that you're one. There's no doubt. You know that you're one. And you say, well, the old devil puts thoughts in my mind all the time. Well, when you first get saved, that's going to happen. You know why? Because you're still a little baby. You're a babe in Christ. You need to read the Word of God. The Bible says, desiring the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. You need to understand that the Word of God is what gets us strong in the Lord. The Word of God is what will make us mature in the Lord. And the more of the Word of God you get in you, the more faith in God you'll have. It takes the Word of God to do that work. It says, he that saith, I know him. And then it says, and keepeth not his commandments. That's what he has appointed to be observed by his people. If he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, what are you supposed to do? Stay with them? Come out from among them. When he says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, what are you supposed to do? Come to church. See, that's his commandment. Somebody that's saved is going to be right where God wants them to be, going to do what God wants them to do, and be in his will. I know him. Well, I tell you what, I got the assurance. Why? Because when it's church time, I'm going to church. Amen. When it's time to do something for the Lord, I want to do something for the Lord. When God puts on me to talk to somebody about Jesus, I'm going to talk to them about Jesus. I don't care where it is. He and keepeth not his commandments. You know, I looked at this is Webster's 1828 now. Know means to perceive with certainty. And I said, what in the world is that word keep, to keep? It means to keep to adhere strictly, not to neglect or deviate from, as to keep old customs, to keep to a rule, to keep to one's word or promise. As I was thinking about keeping the Word of God, and it says, and he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, the Bible finishes in that verse, is a liar. Now, a liar is one that makes a false profession, professes to have that which he really has not. I don't know how to put this, I don't think, but Lord help me here. If you've got the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, the Bible says that you've got the Holy Spirit that bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. When you're saved and the Word of God is being taught and being preached, there's something inside of you that's wanting to jump around a little bit. I guarantee you. And I jump around quite a bit myself. I like to get excited about God. I love to preach the Word of God. God called me to preach, so that's what I am. I'm a preacher, so I'm going to preach. Amen. Some of these people that go up there and talk, I'm not a talker. I like to preach. Amen. And preaching is what, the foolishness of preaching is what saves them that believe. The foolishness of preaching. The world thinks preaching is nuts. Some of these preachers yesterday, I don't know how they took me. I don't know. I just got a little excited, and I got on the pew a little bit, and I preached a little bit from the front of the pew, and I started just telling them. I said, you know, my folks, I said, I don't understand why they keep coming, but I tell you what, I preached the hell out of them. And this one sophisticated preacher got up, and he said, well, I don't know about preaching hell out of somebody, but they probably need it. I said, well, you need to know my folks. I didn't say that. If I came to you with sweet, swelling words all the time and just patted you on the back and tell you how good feller you was and, you know, how much I appreciate you and everything and how, you know, how God's just really doing a work here and, you know, that's not going to do you any good. But if I preach the truth, when the Holy Spirit of God, with the Word of God, And the Word of God starts working on you. And there was some conviction in different places. Not just me preaching, other preachers. There's some good preaching there yesterday. There was some excellent preaching there. There's all kind of different styles of preaching. I mean, there was preachers from California. There's preachers from Michigan. There was preachers from, I don't know where all they was from. All kind of different styles. But you know what? Everybody fit together just like this. Had one thing in common. You know what that was? Jesus. And that's what it's all about, serving Him. And I don't, most of you might not know this, and I'll go ahead and share it with you. This church here is an unregistered church. We are not an incorporated church. When you take in a corporation and you get incorporated with a state, you become an entity of the state. The state can actually come in and dictate policy. And I'm going to do a little prophecy here. If this same-sex marriage is not overturned in this state, the next thing they're going to be doing is requiring churches to hire gay on their staff, Christian schools to hire gay teachers. I guarantee you that's coming. That's to register churches. We're not a registered church. There's a reason for it. And I talked to Brother Dixon, which he's the head cheese, they call him Pope, of the movement. But he talked to me before I preached, I think. Maybe it was after I preached. No, before I preached, I guess. Maybe I bet he wished he'd waited until after I preached. But he asked me if we could have the meeting here next year. And I told him yes. I mean, I guarantee you it'll be a blessing to you folks. And what it is, it's Monday night and all day Tuesday. We've got a whole year to plan for it. So you be planning your vacation Monday night and all day Tuesday to be here. We had about 4, 5, 6 preachers in the morning. We had about 4, 5, 6 preachers that afternoon. And I don't know how many they had that night, because I got up at 4 o'clock that morning and I said, I'm going to drive back to Fort Myers before I go to sleep on the way. So it's good. It is really good. So, you know, you can always tell somebody that's saved. All you got to do is listen to them 5 minutes. A man will reveal, or a woman will reveal, what they are in their heart through their mouth. Some of y'all ain't even want to talk to me no more, are you? Nah, I ain't worried about too many of y'all here. Some of y'all I think about once in a while, though. There can be no true religion where one does not obey the law of God. What is the law of God? It's this book. If you want to be right with God, and show and have the evidence. See, that's the evidence, that's the proof that you're a child of God, that you want to obey this word. If you don't obey it, you're a liar. And Webster says, kind of interesting about what he says about a liar, is a person who knowingly utters falsehood, one who declares to another as a fact what he knows not to be true, and with an intention to deceive him. God doesn't like liars, and I don't like liars. If somebody will lie to you, they'll steal from you. You know why? Because their heart is wicked. Verse 5. I still got time to finish this, I think. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. But whoso keepeth his word, now that his word, that's his commandments, that's what he's told us and commissioned us to do. It says, verily in him the love of God. That is what's reconciled us to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. See, the love of Christ constrains us. The love of Christ is what teaches us to deny ungodly and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world that we live in. And he says, but whoso keepeth his word, verily in him the love of God is perfected. That word perfected is perfectly known. You say, well, I don't understand that book. You'll understand some of it. You'll understand enough of it to know that God has got a hold of your heart and that you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. I guarantee you, you'll know that much until you start reading it. And when you start reading it, God will start showing you more. And the more you apply to your life, the more God will show you. If you get to a certain point and you stop in your Christian growth, and God shows you like you're having a problem with something, I don't know what it might be, but something, and you don't get victory over that something, and you say, well, I just can't do that. Well, the Bible says that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Well, the problem is you don't want to. I mean, there's people that I believe they're saved. They've got problems with drinking. There's folks that I know that are probably, they got trouble with these pain pills and all this junk. Some of them are probably saved. But I'll tell you what, they're not where God wants them, and they don't have the joy of the Lord. They don't have the blessings of God on them, and they're going to have the judgment of God on them. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to this flesh, you're going to reap of this flesh corruption. We know hereby, that is, hereby keeping his word. Now, we're talking about verse 5 now. It says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And hereby, in other words, keeping his word, hereby know we that we are in him, that we have received his salvation, have been enabled to walk in the light and have the communion with him by the Holy Spirit of God. If you're saved, that communion is sweet at times. You ever been in a room by yourself just reading and praying or something, and all of a sudden, man, you feel like you ain't alone? The Holy Ghost of God comes on in that place, man, and the hair on the back of your head stands up, and man, I tell you what, you can feel the presence of an almighty God. See, a lot of people don't even know what I'm talking about because you're not where God wants you to do. You're not walking with God. You're not keeping God's commandments. You're not loving him the way you ought to love him. God's not going to force himself on anybody. He wants us to serve him because we love him. And why do we love him? Because he saved our soul from hell. That's the best reason I can think about. All right, look at verse 6. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. He that saith, he abideth in him. Now that word abideth is implying a condition lasting without intermission, without end. Abiding, that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's that abiding Holy Spirit of God that you're sealed with until the day of redemption. He who professes to be in union with Christ has to show the reality of his profession by walking with Jesus. That's what it's saying. Now listen to what it says. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now, obedience to God is sure evidence of a saving knowledge of him. If you're walking with God, and we talked about this in chapel just a little bit. I was talking about Enoch today. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now see, Enoch is a perfect type of the rapture of the church. But then you got another person that was born just in that same time frame. His name was Noah. And the Bible says that Noah walked with God also. And it seems like, and here's Enoch walking with God. God took him. But here's Noah. He didn't take him. He's down here preaching the word of God to lost, dying world. And what happens there? Nobody hardly ever got, there's only eight people got on that boat. He preached 120 years. Man, that ain't very good percentage, is it? I like seeing people get saved, but glory, hallelujah, God says, you preach the word. That's what he told me to do. He said, preach the word. He said, I'll cause the increase to happen. When it happens, I tell you, when I first come here, I was really kind of, I didn't know what was going on. I'd preach my heart out on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then Wednesday night, almost every Wednesday night, I'd have somebody catch me after church, said, preacher, I need to talk to you. And I'd lead them to the Lord after church. Almost every Wednesday night for I don't know how long, I had people getting saved, and they'd start walking the aisle on Wednesday night. On Sunday, I couldn't get them to budge. You know why? The hearts of the people that was here Sunday night wasn't right, or Sunday morning wasn't right. All it takes is one person to quench the Holy Spirit of God. We had one get saved last Wednesday night. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like that. See, this ain't a normal church. You say, that's for sure. I ain't a normal preacher. And you say, well, that's for sure. John chapter 14, verse 15, Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And what that, there's a connotation to that. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's what basically that means. If you love me, keep my commandments. But then in John 15, 10, it says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That word abide, again here in this verse, means to continue permanently or in the same state, to be firm and immovable. I'm abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ and his love. The Bible tells us, it says, he that saith he abideth in himself, in him, ought himself also. In other words, otherwise, they are just vain words if you don't abide in him and in his love. And it says, so walk even as he walked. Where did he walk? He walked in this world that we live in. A godly walk is an expression of a life identified with Jesus Christ. People that don't walk godly are not identified with Jesus Christ. Church, if you're saved, you need to be real careful how you walk in this world. You are a testimony to a lost and dying world that's going to split hell wide open, and all your friends and your relatives, they're watching your walk. It'd be bad to have your walk be judged and say, well, look, this Lord says, look, I'm going to throw this person in the lake of fire because they could have got saved, but you weren't walking the way you ought to be walking. You don't think that could happen? Most people, the only Bible that they'll ever see or hear is your life. How you are, how you react, and how you act to different things. You need to be careful. It says, so walk even as he walked. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it sets the example. It says, whether you eat, whether you drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You say, well, preacher, I can't do nothing. Well, that whether you eat or drink, that's just a common practice. Everybody eats and drinks. And then you got that comprehensive practice, whatsoever you do. Whatever you do, and then it comes up to a Christian practice, do all to the glory of God. I mean, I'll throw that worm out there and shake it just a little bit, and a bass will hit that thing, and I said, glory, hallelujah, I'm catching you. It's that easy. John says here in this portion of Scripture, if you're a Christian, you should walk as he walked. Now you say, well, I don't know if I can follow them footsteps. Well, very few of us can. But we can strive. We can do our level best to walk as he walked. He walked in perfect obedience to his Father's will. His Father's will led him to the cross. Now think of this now. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying, Lord, remove this cup from me, but nevertheless, let thy will be done. So you start thinking about putting this in practice. Now, God only knows where the Father's will is going to lead us. I mean, it could lead somebody here tonight to the mission field. Or into the ministry of something. No, I don't know where how God's working in somebody's heart and life. But wherever it leads us, our Father's plan and purpose for us is going to be perfect. All he wants us to do is be obedient to that will. Don't resist the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what John's saying here. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. That's pretty plain scripture. We need to walk as he walked. All right, every eye closed, every head bowed. We'll start with verse 7 next week. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you.